Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Welcome everybody to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm super honored, grateful, and excited to meet today with Mr. Mark. Is it Meiser or Mauser?
Moiser.
Moiser. Amazing. I'm super blessed, brother. First and foremost, very excited to get to know you better. You know, we spent maybe 2 minutes before we jumped on here to really get to know each other, but we're actually going to really get to know each other now, which is going to be fun. So for those of you that don't know Mark, you know, I just want to share a little bit about you, brother. You know, I've had friends actually send me, you know, a lot of the comments about what's going on in the world. And then, you know, say, hey, like, you know, you got to connect with Mark. But for those of you that don't know Mark, it's native Californian with a proven record of fighting for constitutional rights in the U.S. This is really important because especially right now with what's going on in the world, I think that this is especially with our children in the future generation, we really have a duty to stand up for them. And I think that this is a very beautiful opportunity for us to connect deeper and to really just get to know each other. And then also, most importantly, share what is right. You know, what is right? What is right in our hearts? What's coming through for the universe, God, creator, to you, to me, and really share with each other and the and everybody that's listening in the world to pay attention to everything that, you know, is coming from the greater and most infinite intelligence in us all. So blessings, brother. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for that introduction. Very kind words.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, just to go a little bit deeper, bro. I really would love to know, you know, more about you. Even, you know, it's fun. I could say everything that is written in front of me, but I prefer hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Well, as you heard, my name is Mark Moiser. I am an attorney in the state of California. You see behind me a lot of old books. I am a studier of history. I'm not, you know, I get my history by actually reading about it when it actually transpired. I have a first edition set of the Madison Papers, which are the official records of the U.S. Constitution Convention done by James Madison. And as a lawyer, I have just a deep love for the Constitution and the principles of living in a republic. On a personal side of things, I am an outdoor enthusiast. I hike, I sail. I'm a triathlon. I do a lot of Ironmans. I've, you know, traveled the world doing Ironmans. I'm not fast, but I finish. You know, in 2020, I was the number 3 ranked half Ironman distance athlete in the United States of America for my age group 45 to 50. And that's not because of how fast I am. It's just the fact that I traveled around the world and still did races during 2020. So, you know, I just get in there and I fight and I fight and I fight and I fight. You see it in what I do, you know, in Ironman athletes or what I do in courts. You know, over the last couple of years, we've had, you know, COVID is the defining moment in the world of what's going on right now. And I have been in the courts over the last couple of years, probably 30 times in between cases against state governors, against public health officials. And recently we brought a case against Joe Biden and the vaccine mandate for workers. So proven record for United States Supreme Court victories over mandates, but we can talk about the importance of why we're bringing these cases and how they, what the importance of them around the world, but we'll get into that in a few minutes.
Absolutely. Brother, first of all, amazing, like Iron Man, like that's so beautiful, like, wow, you know, and then of course, all the books behind you, all the intelligence that you've gathered, the research, the history, you know, so important, especially when we're moving forward to see patterns, you know, because even in my own research, it's, you know, from my own experience, but also just looking at patterns, it's beautiful to see how things are repeating themselves, and for what the causes. And if the more that we attune to that, the more that we can really pay attention to seeing what the real agenda is, you know, what the real agenda is of, you know, this power, this greed, these mandates. And I think that this is the most important thing to really circle back to, because history keeps fucking repeating itself, and it's time to make a change, and it's a huge time to make a change. And we get to do this together. We get to celebrate life by creating and really building that ripple effect as a team, you know? And so I honor your work, brother. I honor your commitment. I honor the heart that goes into that, because I know that feeling. And, you know, it's always about, you know, standing for what's right. And what's right is in our hearts. What's right is really like to share that level of expression, and the way that you're doing it is, I'm so blessed to connect. So
you said something, brother, very important there that I think we should understand. Thomas Paine, who wrote Common Sense in the United States and was really the philosopher of the American Revolution, but he also then went back to France and he wrote Rights of Man. And in Rights of Man, he talks about the principle of how important it is for each generation to fight the tyrants of their age, and how you can go back in time and you're always going to find tyrants rising up, imposing their will over the basic fundamental rights of man. And it's up to mankind to fight back against those tyrants. And so it doesn't matter if you're an American like me fighting for constitutional rights, the fundamental principle of these rights of wanting to govern yourself rather than some unnamed individual having the ability to dictate whether you can go to work, whether you can stay home, what kind of medicine you have to take. You know, when somebody is telling you what you have to do, that's tyranny. You know, you can go to any two-year-old. A two-year-old understands the principle of self-governance. Try to tell a two-year-old that they need to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. Try to tell a two-year-old that they need to eat their broccoli and peas. You know, the fundamental principle that is innate in every single child, whether they are born in Africa or whether they're born in the United States of America, whether they're born in Asia, whether they're born in Europe, it doesn't matter your color, it doesn't matter your economic status in life, in each and every one of our hearts is a desire to self-govern. And the problem is, from this age of time to today, there are always going to be rulers who want to impose their will on top of our lives. And if you go back to Thomas Paine in The Rights of Man, he's saying that it is our duty to make sure that we stand up against those tyrants.
Yes, absolutely, brother. This is so important. And it's this self-governance, this self-sovereignty that we get to decide and to step into and really raise the standard for the next generation. You know, I really feel that as we continue to do this, we get to continue to create a better future for the inner child inside of us, right? Because we get to start creating the dreams around us, because we start opening our eyes to what's possible. And then we also understand that we're creating something so much more special for the beautiful, beloved, amazing individuals that we're creating and that are coming into this world so that they don't have to close their eyes and dream, that, but they get that they can keep their eyes open and recognize that they're living in one.
Yes, very true.
Because our life is a prayer, or our life is an altar, and every moment is a prayer. And if we start seeing the reverence in that, if we start seeing the reverence in each other, we'll start seeing it first in ourselves, then in each other. And as a result, we'll really be connected to our greatest creator.
Yeah, well, it's a, you know, so many people just don't understand the concept of self-governance. Mm-hmm. And in the United States of America, that was really, you know, if you go back and study why United States separated from Great Britain, the straw that broke the camel's back was the issue of some foreign dictator, in this case, mm-hmm. King George III, dictating how you were to live your life in America. And that really was the straw that broke the camel's back. We can go back and say taxation without representation. We could talk about the Commerce Clause. We can talk about shutting down meeting houses, imposing trade restrictions. But really the straw that broke the camel's back was this issue of self-governance. And, you know, in United States, that principle is so sacred that we established a constitution around the principle of self-governance. And if you go back to the 19, I think it was like 1907, bubonic plague hit San Francisco. There was something like, I think it was like 9 people died of bubonic plague in San Francisco in like 1907. Now, you and I understand that bubonic plague was a pretty serious thing. It killed, it did some serious damage over a 500-year period in Europe. Mm. And the public health officer in San Francisco decided, you know what? I'm going to just shut down 15 blocks of Chinatown. I'm going to just shut it down. You can't go to work. You can't go to restaurants. Nobody can come in. Nobody can come out. And I'm doing that for the safety of everybody, right? And our court system said, no, time out. Time out. We live in America. You have a right of self-governance. We have, the courts are supposed to protect the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of everyone. And public health officials, if you have reasonable ground that somebody had bubonic plague, then you're allowed to quarantine that individual. But you can't, without due process of law, just make blanket decrees depriving people of their lives, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You can't say you can't go to work because you happen to live in an area where somebody got a disease and died. And that was the principle of public health in the United States of America for over 200 years, all the way up until March of 2020. And in March of 2020, all of a sudden, the apple cart got upended. And all of a sudden, everybody was presumed to be guilty. Everybody was presumed to have COVID-19. And all of a sudden they said, you are essential, you are not. And from this, it's like, okay, you can't go to church. You can't go to school. You know, and it just became, well, barbers and beauticians, they have to be closed. Oh, restaurants, they have to be closed. But it's okay for Hollywood to have dining outdoors to feed their staff. But 100 feet away, you and I can't go to a restaurant, our favorite restaurant, and dine outdoors. The hypocrisy and the just public health officers who are not elected in the United States. So in the United States, as a Republican form of government, we're supposed to elect the officials who pass the laws which govern us. And those laws must be within the confines of a constitution. That's why the United States of America is a constitutional republic, meaning our elected officials can only govern us within the confines of that document. And the Constitution prohibits you know, any law being passed that deprives somebody of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So what we had was a double problem here, where public health officials who weren't elected passing laws that were depriving people of their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And over the course of the last year, I have taken 4 cases to the United States Supreme Court, and we've won all four of them. I'm a part of the legal teams of these four cases. But that's the framework. But why is that important to somebody in Europe? Why is that important to somebody in Asia?
Oh, critical. Of course, it's so important.
And the one of the biggest reasons is United States of America has the American experiment. And it is as America goes, almost so goes the world. And if we allow tyrants to deprive people of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, what hope does somebody in Africa or Asia or Europe have that they're going to be able to overcome their tyrants? I'm not saying that they can't do it, but for the last 200 years, 250 years, the United States of America has been that beacon of where you could see an example of there's a place where they are self-governing and it's working and politicians are accountable to the people. And you don't allow these administrators to just run over the rights of the people. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so important in the United States of America that we fight back against these tyrants, because I'm getting people who are, you're not in the United States and you've reached out to me. I, on almost a daily basis, I'm having people reach out to me from Australia, New Zealand, England, Canada, saying, keep fighting in America because we're watching you here.
And we have to come together, right? So anything that's happening in one area of the world, at the end of the day, I always like to call, this castle of Mother Earth is really all of ours, right? So we got to look after and including the people, right? So the people are all of ours. Like we're everybody, we look after each other. And, the thing that I wanted to really touch on too is, it's like in 1929, right? The German, there was an economic crisis in Germany based off of what had happened in the US. And when that had happened, now people started losing jobs, started to be out of unemployment. They started to like get really weak. And that's when the rise of this dictator, Hitler, became and all the propaganda started to become a movement, right? A movement. And so this directly affects each and every one of us, and this is the same pattern. This economic recession that happened then fueled the whole gathering of what happened in Nazi Germany, and then it continued to build momentum. And now this same economic recession that happened in 2008, further again in 2020, and now 2021, happening because someone in China felt like they needed to, activate, something to do that it was going. It's like this economic war between China and the U.S. to really start to create this change of like almost. And I'm sorry to say, it's like the most important thing is I have more power than you, or I have more wealth than you, or I'm more greedy than you. And this is not the right way. The right way is to come together and to create some sort of a harmony, blending and harmonizing the most powerful force that we have, which is love, which is intention, which is creativity. And this economic bullshit that is happening, it needs to create more abundance for all of us. The power of, in 2016, the CEO of JP Morgan, he released a letter saying that, $27 billion went out to their shareholders. And what happened in that time, 9 million people died in that year from hunger, just hunger. Okay. Right now, the COVID deaths is 6 million. And they're saying that they're creating this vaccine to help us or to help people. I really feel like there's something that we need to question even deeper, and it's like it's what agenda are we really pushing, and why are we really because you and I are doing something different. We're pushing a really powerful, but they, and I believe that right now, this economic abundance that they're trying to hold a tight grip on and create more wealth, because China created the COVID, and then U.S. created the vaccine. So let's figure out who's gonna figure it out. Who's gonna be end up being at the top of the food chain, you know? And it doesn't make sense to me. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what your thoughts are on that whole repetitive pattern that now is our opportunity to challenge.
That is a mouthful, and that is a something that we could probably talk about for a long, long time. I mean, you can go you can go all the way back to, again, the start of time, you know, the start of recorded history. And you're always going to see that those people who are up at the top are going to do everything that they, you know, predominantly they're going to do everything they can to increase their personal wealth. And that there's going to be this competitive environment between them. You know, why did we have, you know, the 100-year wars between England and France, right? I mean, it used to be you planted your crop and then you went and fought the neighboring tribe next door. You know, there's always been this level of conflict in human history. And, you know, we're living in a time where, you know, what was it? When you and I were kids, it was Russia and United States. The Cold War. And who had the biggest arsenal? And, of course, you know, big military contractors made a lot of money during those years. And now we see the biological warfare that seems to be coming to the front. And you're going to see big pharma seems to going to be trying to be the biggest benefactor of that. And
which they are. There's this BioNTech, which that created the vaccine in Germany. They have an office in Massachusetts, one of their headquarters. And, you know, it's so funny. I looked, $250 million from an undisclosed bank account from Singapore, you know, and 2 years prior to that, there was $55 million that went in from Bill and Melinda Gates.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, and I'm curious to know, you know, what is the real, you know, this beautiful opportunity of life that we get to live every day with joy, with harmony, with trust, and that we want to cultivate real change here for the future generations. I'm curious to know, you know, if those leaders or whoever funded, you know, the vaccine or created the dis-ease and that's happening, I'm curious to know, you know, if they're activating that inside of their own families, you know, if that is also being something that, you know, this is something really important for us to recognize and ask ourselves, you know, are these leaders that are creating mandates, enforcing them on themselves, you know, enforcing them around the people they love, enforcing them around those that mean the most to them? Because at the end of the day, the only family that we have is each other. And if we stop thinking in the words of separation and start recognizing that we all can accept each other, we're going to start to create a lot more harmony and abundance for every person in the planet.
Yeah, I mean, you've bring up some very good points. I don't think we know the answer to that. You know, did Bill and Melinda Gates take the, you know, the vaccine that's being enforced on everybody? Did Dr. Fauci do it? You know, we don't know. A lot of people are questioning it. You know, for me personally, the thing that really caused me to step back and start really questioning this whole entire process was, and understand, I'm gonna back up and tell a little bit. You know, in January of 2020, we start hearing this thing about COVID-19. Now, I'm supposed to go to Hong Kong and Thailand in February, the end of February of 2020. I'm doing an Ironman in Thailand. And I've always wanted to go to Hong Kong. So I was going to spend 3 or 4 days in Hong Kong just visiting the city. And, you know, Hong Kong's not too far away from where this virus outbreak was happening. And so in January, I started to do research. I started to read everything that was available. And I very quickly ascertained a couple things. Fact number one, this was only, now I wouldn't say only, it was predominantly affecting those people who were older in life and those who had health issues. Well, as somebody who was not in that 65 plus age group and somebody who was an athlete, I was able to go, okay, this does not, I don't need to be worried about this for me personally. I'm not going to go visit my grandma after going around the world. I mean, I'm going to be smart because I love my grandma, right? But, you know, after a period of time, you know, and make sure that I didn't get it or can't pass it on, then yes, I will go visit my grandma. But it wasn't like, okay, I didn't feel like it was something that I needed to be worried about. So I went to Hong Kong. I went to Thailand. I competed in the race. I lived my life, right? And then I came back to the United States. And about the time I get back is about the time all of a sudden they shut things down. And I'm going, wait a second. This is contrary to all the scientific data that we have available. Number one, it was scientifically in the literature, shutdowns, a partial shutdown does not work. The only way a shutdown works is if you make sure nobody has any contact with another person for 10 months. I mean, it has to be a complete and total lockdown. Because if you have a partial lockdown, bringing people into interaction with each other in fewer places just means it spreads more. So that didn't make any sense to me. Why, you know, if the scientific literature says that partial shutdowns don't work, why are we exercising partial shutdowns? You know, that was kind of the first thing. It's like, what's going on here? Then, you know, because of all the lawsuits I was doing, I was talking to the leading experts in the world about COVID, one of the things that we really learned is that children had this 0000000 possibility that they're going to get it. And if they get it, they're going to survive it. And then we also learned that they're not passing it on to adults. If they do get it, they're not passing it to adults. And we shut down our schools here in America. And it didn't make any sense. And then all of a sudden, we're talking about vaccines. Okay, vaccines for the people who are older, who have diseases. Okay, that might make sense. But as soon as they started to demand that we vaccinate the youth, that was really, in my mind, the moment that is like, time out. There is an agenda beyond just promoting safety. We're no longer talking about people's safety when we're trying to demand a vaccine for people who aren't being affected. I mean, if I remember right, it was like 3 or 4 months before the first person in the world died who was younger than age 18. And of course, they had so many other health issues. You know, it just was. Why are we spending this time, you know, at that point in time, it became clear that this was not about safety, that this was about making money or deeper political issues. And that was, for me, the breaking point when I saw them starting to come in and say, we're going to vaccinate kids. It just didn't make any sense.
And I feel like that's exactly the most important thing, you know, because at the end of the day, us spending the time with our children, our grandparents spending time with children. You know, I look at my father, you know, spending time with my nephews in Canada, and it just makes me want to cry. You know, just it reminds me of my grandfather and the way that he looked at me, the way that he was able to cultivate this beauty of grace and give me love with strength, reminding me, you know, that compassion, that love, that joy, it doesn't matter. It's the most important thing. And this is how we show up now for our children, by recognizing that they are innocent, that they are so pure, and that we are pure as long as we're tapped into our inner child, and that what we're here to stand for and step up into is the greater good for the future generations, and building a planet, a country, a community, a home,
yeah,
ourselves, to a place where we can really recognize that this inner peace, it comes from within. You know, just recently, before we got on the call, I was with a little girl. Her name's Tanya. A little girl, it's her birthday today. And my landlord came here to visit me. We had some problems with the chimney for the fire, so the smoke could come out from the top. And she came, and all the adults were talking. You know, they were talking about COVID and vaccines and things. And she kept pulling like her mom or so anyone and to go. And a couple times, and I noticed this, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go with her, and I'm going to go play. I'm going to go be the kid. And so I followed her, and she grabbed my hand, and we started walking. She's about 2 years old.
Okay.
And we go to the swings. She jumps on the swing, and I push her a little bit. And then she's like, she grabs my hand. She doesn't say anything. She's not, doesn't speak. She's okay. Like very young, like maybe yeah. Not even 2 years. I think she just turned 2 actually. And yeah. So we go to the corner to just up the land here, and she's like, she takes me to this circled area, and she puts her right hand, or sorry, her left hand on the ground, touches the ground, and then points to the sky.
Hmm.
She passes me a branch, and she says, and she doesn't say anything, but looks at me with like these beautiful eyes, and to me, I'm looking for places to build like a beautiful teepee so that we can really create. This is exactly the communication that we don't pay attention to, because we are so disconnected from our children. They're looking every single moment for us to stand up for them and to create harmony amongst one another. And if we're not willing to listen to ourselves and really listen to the inner child, we will never understand the purity of our children, especially when they're so young and so ready to say help. Say, yeah. I need you to look out for me. I need you to take care of me. I need you to nurture me. And I need you to love me. You know, and I want you to love yourself and everybody around you. And to me, my brother, this to me was spirit, God speaking
yeah.
right through her to me. And it was the most powerful experience that I've had, because I now know how much I've worked on myself. You said one more thing that I just want to touch on. This experience of life, of COVID, you touched on church. People can't go to church or temples or monasteries, cathedrals.
Yeah.
And the one opportunity that this created is recognizing that these temples, these churches, these monasteries, these sacred spaces are inside of us.
Yeah.
And this ability to recognize this self-sovereign, this support of self, it understands that we actually can illuminate true grace, true freedom, true joy every single day of the week, as long as we are willing to look at ourselves first. And it's from that state that everyone, 6.9 billion people are in some sort of a faith or spirituality, and everyone has learned or is learning, or if they've paid enough attention, to come and look inside. And so this is, I think, an extremely important piece. As we look inside, we can start looking at each other with grace, with this like playful wonder.
Yeah, but I'm going to counter you slightly here. Not that I'm disagreeing, because, you know, an individual can do amazing things, but as an assembly, our limitations are endless.
And
the thing is that, you know, if you go back to the bubonic plague, who were the people who were serving the needs of the people? it wasn't the leaders, elected leaders ran out of town as soon as bubonic plague happened. It was the priest. It was the pastors who were going in and risking their lives for, you know, the people during the most troublesome times of, you know, when a bubonic plague hit a city, you know, everybody just, if you were affluent enough, you got out of Dodge very quickly. And when you start attacking religious institutions, number one, you're cutting people off from the assembly. And that way, you know, it's united, we stand, divided, we fall. And so while there is, you know, and I'm going to come back to this in a second, but the benefits, I agree, with each of us learning how to be resilient on our own. But the problem is, if the authorities want to control people, the first thing you have to do is control their assemblies and make sure that they cannot share ideas, work together, and build cohesiveness. And because when people have, you know, it's like the Olympics, you know, it doesn't matter what country you are in. When your athlete is competing, you're cheering for your athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, you're from Canada. I guarantee you that if there is a Canadian, let's say, take hockey. Canada's playing hockey, you don't care if they are from Ottawa or Vancouver. You're cheering, right? There's that 100%. There's that assembly going on. Politicians, in order to control us individually, have to divide us and get us to fight each other. And, exactly. And there's an image, you've probably seen it on, you know, social media, of a little white boy and a little black boy who see each other and they run and they give each other a big hug. You know, racism is not innate. It's something that is trained into us.
100%.
We want to love each other. We are not born racist. We are trained to be racist. And so politicians, in order to control us, they need to divide us. They need, you know, in United States, it's Republican versus Democrat. It's black versus white. You know, anything rich against poor, anything that they, politicians to succeed have to divide. Mm-hmm. So while there are important lessons that we can gain because of this division and separation that we've had of COVID, you have to be very clear. You have to understand that it's a part of that political agenda. In order to get compliance, you have to first break the ties. And whether it's religious ties, whether it was, you know, political ties, that the faster you can break that assembly, the easier it is for you to control individuals. Because again, take the United States of America, for example. Well, if there's only one employee who's refusing to take the vaccine, power is in the hand of the employer. But when you have, what is it? How many truckers right now are driving across the state of Canada?
I think 50,000.
Okay. It's making a
200,000, something like that. It's 200,000. My apologies.
It's a massive number. Yeah, and it's making a huge statement because they're united. Yeah. So you got to understand, when the attack comes on our communities, when it comes against our churches, our synagogues, our, you know, mosque, whatever, when they're trying to shut it down, you have to understand what they're doing. They're trying to divide us. And, but that being said, now I'm going to address your point of the benefits, as you said, because, you know, it is important that no matter what life throws us, that we don't be looking in the rearview mirror. You can learn from the past, but you can't live your life in the past. Right. And, you know, to the extent that people have taken this, you know, unusual last couple of years and redefined themselves for the better, that is always good. But again, I go back to the point, we cannot yield to tyrants.
No, and I think that as a result of taking the time, right, to go inside, right, taking the time to understand yourself, you then get to look at the person in front of you with way more reverence because you recognize this self-sovereign, this sacred sovereign that you are. And so when you recognize that you are a sacred sovereign, I could look at you and recognize your sacred sovereignty because I understand the blessing that you are, you know, and the beauty of your gifts and the way that you show up in the world, the way that you express yourself. And I have reverence for that because I have reverence for myself. So the beauty is, although it may have separated and created some kind of another understanding, but faith in spirituality has increased by 30% since COVID started, because people had the opportunity to go inside. And as they go inside, they get way more connected to their creator because they're making, and mental health has also, like, it's been an improvement, right? So this is something that I think also is something to acknowledge, only because now we're actually going to be able to unify in a way more stronger capacity because we recognize the divinity or the sacredness in the person that's sitting in front of us. So how do we now come together in unity, in strength, in power, in standing for something that's way higher than ourselves and looking for solutions that will create abundance for all, because alone only turns into all one.
Yeah. I mean, that is a huge question of how do we unite around a common principle? And there are many people out there, whether it's a rally in, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, I was probably a teenager when it happened, Tiananmen Square in the 80s.
No, I don't know. I was born in 87. So,
okay. Sorry.
But, no, it's okay. You know, it's okay. I still say I'm 11, so it's all good.
Fair enough. But I mean, the going back and just watching a few students who just stood up in Tiananmen Square, you know, sometimes it doesn't take much to spark a revolution. And, you know, China understood that. And it's why they basically sent their tanks into China to shut down that protest. And, you know, a lot of bad things happened as a result of that, you know, but there was also, you know, just the understanding that just a few people standing up can make a huge difference. That's something that's seen around the world. You know, the American Revolution started with a shot heard around the world where a few farmers with guns stood up to the British and say, no, you're not going to be allowed to cross this line. And some people lost their lives as a result of that. But when one person stood up, now all of a sudden the next town stood up, and the next town stood up, and the next town stood up, and the next town stood up. And you need someone, and in this case, there's a lot of people. You need people to just start standing up and educating. I mean, I look at my Facebook feed all the time. Well, I don't have enough time to really follow all the comments that come in, but I occasionally look at it. And, you know, you see people who are just looking for somebody to follow. You know, they don't feel like they can be the leader, but they're looking for that voice to follow. But then at the same time, you see the contrarian person out there is like, they still don't understand. And so you got to just worry about educating the next person.
Exactly. The next person. Being kind and joyful and sweet and honoring each other. And I think that education is such an important part, as long as it's coming from an integrated state, meaning having integrity and living that way of life as well, right? So I think that the biggest thing is like, what do we do as individuals every single day replicates into every area of our life. So if you're out of integrity in one area, it's very easy to fall out of integrity in another. And I think that it's the same pattern as, you know, of what's happened with these economic downturns turn into power focused. And instead, it's like, how can we actually align in such truth, honor, and integrity, and honor and love each person? And from that state, I believe that we're going to actually be able to create a whole new paradigm. And this whole new paradigm is going to be something that allows us all to really create abundance. To those that need us, to those that can't speak, to those, they're going to be able to hug their mother. They're going to be able to love their father. They're going to be able to eat great food. I really believe in all my heart and soul that this is the time that we get to stand united, you know, beautifully across the globe, because we've seen what tyranny does across the globe. And this is the greatest opportunity that we've ever been able to come in mankind, because now we can unite as a global society, as a global civilization that can change the dynamics for the better for all.
Yep. We got a challenge ahead of us, but you know what? Yes.
We're together, bro. We're together. We've found each other. We're brothers now, you know, like, I'm so excited.
But remember, freedom beats slavery every single time.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yes.
You know, I was in Moscow, Russia in 92, right after the fall of communism. And it was interesting being in Russian Orthodox churches, talking to babushkas who hadn't seen a Bible almost their entire life. And just them holding that Bible and just being able to cry, and you know, that this was something that they could now own. You know, for so long, you know, they had been going to their Orthodox church and they just didn't have that freedom. But eventually, that system of government that took away their fundamental rights of liberty crumbled, and freedom came out. And being able to spend, I was in Moscow, Russia for 10 weeks in 92, and just being able to see that, you know, I had been raised hearing how bad Russia, but being able to see it as they came out into that freedom, it's very enlightening. And it's very important to understand that it doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter where in the world you live. That desire of freedom, that sovereignty, self-governance.
Pursuit of happiness. Yes, and sovereignty. Yes, yes.
That is in that's deep inside each and every one of us. And it is critical that we understand that no matter how bad the tyrants are pushing down, eventually they're going to push to such a point, boom, that there will be a revolution.
Together, brother, we stand united, bro. I love you, brother. Like, I'm so excited. You're a new brother to me, my friend. It's amazing to connect with you. I really honor you. I honor everything that you stand for, and the way that you step up, and the way that you're willing to activate this voice inside of you for the greater good, for the people around you, for those that don't have a voice. And I really believe that, you know, there's no mistakes. There's never a mistake in my life, and yeah, Everything that has happened for me. And I really feel excited to know you personally, to get to know each other more as, you know, the months, weeks, and years go on, and continue to bring a new way of understanding to the world, because I think that this is something that we can really manifest, and we get to do it together, which is going to be so much more fun.
Well, we got a fight ahead of us. There's a lot of tyrants in the world, but it's our responsibility of this generation to stand up, to fight for those fundamental principles. Yes. You call it sovereignty. I call it self-governance. It's the same principle. It's freedom.
Freedom. And I got a boatload of beautiful, spiritual, indigenous, ancient masters behind me, brother. So we're here. We've got leaders. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to one of my brothers that's going to Brazil to see one of our other brothers, Master Shaman, Ninawa Paidamata. And, you know, they're doing a baptismal ceremony there. Unfortunately, I can't make it. I got to really ground here. But they're going to come here. And we're really going to cultivate, you know, a very unique, sacred ceremony to really bring all of these spiritual leaders that are so connected to the divine and really know how to communicate with the divine and really bringing this grounding energy that I'm really excited to cultivate and magnify with all of our energies together. So I hope when it happens, you can make it too. And you know, we're here to, we're stand together. We've got the creator on our side, my dear brother. And love conquers. It doesn't conquer, actually. It activates all, you know, we stand united, brother. This is just the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to see the family come together.
Well, I do say love conquers all, but I understand. Well, you say tomato, I say tomato, you know.
Exactly, right? So the only thing I don't want to say is conquering, because words are spells, right? So I really cultivate, you know, the language that we use is so important in the way that we're able to communicate. And conquering, you know, it may have an adverse effect on what it said in the past. And so I choose to really honor that language because, you know, abracadabra, right? Or, you know, what we say is what becomes real, right? So...
But I don't mind if love conquers tyranny.
True. I love that.
I don't mind if love conquers people.
No, granted, I got you. I got you. Brother, I have a last question for you before you got to go. You got to run to another meeting. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
3 days left to live. I would go and get the biggest audience I could. And I would take as much of this knowledge of our need to defeat tyranny. And I would just keep banging that drum. I'd keep banging that drum of the need of independence, the need of liberty. You know, personally, I want to live to see United States of America 300th birthday, which will be July 4th, 2076. I'd be 102 years old,
but you're gonna do it, brother.
I want to see that day, and I want to speak that day about how important it is to defeat tyrants, to have self-governance, to be able to love liberty.
Bless your beautiful heart. We're going to make it a 3-day event on your 102nd birthday. Together, we're going to make it happen. You know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Okay, brother. So I want to honor, again, your time. I know you got to go. So bless your heart. We'll talk. Do you have anything last words that you want to share?
Love conquers all. Let's you know, what I like to say is, you know, I'm fighting for people's liberties, their freedoms here in the United States. But the fight for freedoms and liberty is not in somebody else's hands. It starts with each and every one of us. And each and every one of us needs to understand what those liberties are so that we can appreciate those. And so that we can share them with others to make sure that we do not allow others to come in and dictate to us what is right, what is wrong. We do not allow others to come in and dictate to us what we can do and what we can't do, who's essential, who's not essential, who is good, you know, oh, you're this color, you're good. You're this color, you're bad. No, we need to go back to the basic principles. We need to understand liberty, understand that when we have liberty, we have responsibility. Before you can have a responsibility, you first have to understand the gift of liberty.
I love you, brother, so much.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does, more importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.